Krishna, Krishna. Please do not disturb my harmonium player.
Thank you. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Shila Ingre, Shila Veta, Naravinda, Shila Bhakti Vedanta, Swami Maharaja, Shila Prabhupada ki Anand Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai, ISKCON Founder Acharya, Shila Prabhupada ki jai, Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Gaura Prema Nandi Ariyako. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to CC, Guru and Shiva, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. So Hare Krishna, I want to welcome you to this workshop. It's the second workshop in a row, but before we start, I would request Varunadini to give us an overview of what we have learned so far, what we have heard so far, or where we are in the retreat, because it's important for us as the team who organizes these retreats for you, that you have an understanding that where the journey leads you, how we progress, where we are, and therefore I request you to review from time to time what you have discovered, for instance, in this morning's lecture, which I think we all felt gave Gauranga Mahaprabhu gave this very amazing point about how to deal with one's misfortune of not being attracted. So please.
Hi Krishna, dear devotees, welcome. And first of all, I would like to thank you and congratulate you on behalf of the retreat team, because you are really doing so exceptionally well yesterday. I mean, we were really amazed how many of you came to chant during the optional japa, group japa from 5 to 6, and then we also heard that many of you really attended the evening kirtans, and thank you so much for this, because you're really not only here to listen but also to practice immediately. And to help you start with the second workshop of the day, we just wanted to briefly tell you that yesterday we heard in a discovery lecture how the chanting of the holy names is actually the param upaya, or the supreme method or the means to attain love of Godhead. And this was said by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. And then after glorifying or the holy name and giving us the seven wonderful qualities or results of chanting the holy name, Maharaj very much emphasized one of them, or the first one, which was Chetavartana Marjanam, or cleansing of the mirror of the heart while chanting. And maybe some of you or all of you remember, we heard that beautiful story of how one disciple was sent by his guru to a hotel, and he spent 3 days there. And then when he returned from the hotel, his Guru Maharaj asked him, so what was your realization? And then he told his Guru Maharaj, well, I saw every day how the owner of the hotel was cleansing the mirror, and every day, again, dust would fall on the mirror. So each day in the morning, he would do this. And from this, the disciple understood that it's the same as chanting of the holy names. Actually, we have to do this practice regularly, every day. And so it is another point which comes on, which follows this one, is that we need to really awaken the Shraddha, or the faith, that the chanting of the holy names will really help us to come to the pure platform of existence. So also in accordance with Bhajan Rahasya, which is the underlying theme that Maharaj is teaching during this retreat, the first stage of spiritual development is Shraddha, actually. So yesterday we heard about this. Then in the workshop, we heard about the Kirtan Arrow, which was a summary of the previous retreat, and Maharaj went through all the 5 points. And you will all receive, actually, this lecture in 5 consecutive training lessons. And for this, we would ask all of you to please write down your email addresses on the board in the back, which is called Amritavani newsletter. Even those who registered already, please write your names again, because sometimes we cannot really read names well, and then some don't get these newsletters. So please be very, very write in the best way you can, so that we could really also obtain your good email. And then you will receive the lecture which Maharaj gave yesterday in 5 training newsletters, so to say. And then in the evening, we heard the evening lila, or the, actually it was the morning lila, or the lila at the end of the night, which talks about, or tells us about how Radha and Krishna are awakened by the parrots and by the monkey. And the importance, or why we bring these lilas into the retreat, is, as we heard yesterday, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that in order to develop our chanting, we really need to have both Harinam and Harikatha. So these lilas help us actually to understand who Krishna really is. What is he doing at a particular time of the day? How does he deal with his devotees? What is his character? And so on. And this helps us very much to develop also our relationship or to connect with Krishna. So that's much was said yesterday. We're wishing you a wonderful day today also, and Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It was a summary which really took in account the points which I wanted to deliver to you, and let us now progress into the second day of the workshop. The guideline for this retreat is Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's work, Bhajan Rahasya, or the Confidential Secrets of Worship. This book has many different layers, and we have made a little outline for you. I would appreciate if the light goes down a little so that we can see it more clearly. Oh yeah, we have handouts for each one of you. Nandarani, can I also please get one? Well, this is a real wonderful. Can you see how nice the devotees do everything? Amazing. If you don't, if you still wait for your handout, you can already in the meantime look here on the table. This describes the spiritual dynamics of this work, Bhajan Rahasya. Now, on one level, let us start here. It starts with an instruction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is the Chetra Dharpana Marjanam Shloka, verse number 1. This verse is really about the 7 wonderful results of chanting the holy name, and it refers to the level of, see, you have to go deeper and deeper to Shraddha. We made a little mistake here. This Bhava doesn't need to be there. It's just Shraddha. And the meditation about which is done at this time of the day is, you know, from 3:36 a.m. to 6 a.m., the pastimes of Radha and Krishna at the end of the night. Now, believe it or not, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, hello, don't get lost in the whole thing. You will get lost. You will never come out again out of this lotus. You will be like a bumblebee. And then you are lost in it. That's actually the idea of the whole thing. You should be like bumblebees who get lost in the nectar. It's important for me to note that Bhaktivinoda Thakur relates all this to the first utterance of Hare Krishna. In this Hare Krishna, they're sending the faith involved, faith in the seven wonderful results of the holy name. And also in this first Hare Krishna, there are Radha and Krishna in the Nikunja Leela at the end of the night. So this is, of course, all a little bit theoretical still, but you will see as we move on. Today we are in Shikshastakam Shloka number 2. You will see all the potencies are present within the holy name, and we have forgotten to add, and there is a great lamentation. Why does the devotee lament? He feels very, very, very unqualified due to anuraga, no attachment. Why is someone not attached and cannot taste the happiness of chanting Hare Krishna? Aparadha, yes. And also anatas, yes, and these attachments. And today now, in this workshop, Bhaktivinoda Thakur will deliver to us a few very powerful medicines which help us to overcome these anattas, this disease of no taste. And we will deal with this in a second. But before doing so, Gaurahari, we will sing again our prayer. Do you remember why we start every day with a prayer? It was because we feel, not an individual thing, we want to appeal to the most, to the king of all of Krishna's Shakti. What is the king of all of Krishna's Shakti? His Kriva Shakti. You know everything. We know that only by merciful investment from above can our chanting go in serious distance. So please chant with us. It's your Krishna Mastakam. Yes, also our internet devotees can join us on the board there. Nikila Shruti. Yes? Nikila Shruti Mudira Namala Yuti. Thank you.
Namo Namaha.
violin, Prabhu. Thank you. Thank you. I really hope that Krishna will hear our prayer, and I believe at the end of this retreat we will all be very expert. This was already a little bit better than the first time. It's a little, the melody is very ancient, it's an old raga, and it is, we are getting there, we are soon catching the raga. It's a little bit ahead of us still, but soon we have it. Yeah, in the first verse, Rupa Goswami prayed for shelter to the holy name. He said, "Oh Harinam, I take complete shelter of you." Now the holy name asks a question back. Vince, Bhakta, Rick, Anushka, how can I give shelter to someone who is so sinful? This is almost a question which is in the room from this morning. How can Krishna give us shelter? And so on. So in the second verse, Rupa Goswami says that the holy name can give shelter because its greatness lies in wiping out the sins of everyone. Even Ajamil's sins were forgiven by the holy name, and therefore even Ajamil could be given shelter. Let us read the verse. O Harinam, O name sung by the sages, O transcendental syllables that bring bliss to the people, even if you are spoken only once, and even if you are spoken disrespectfully, you at once remove the many harsh sufferings of everyone. It's almost like Rupa Goswami says, Krishna, you have come in the form of your aksharas, your syllables this time, and in this form, you are accessible even to those who are negligent of their spiritual practices. They only do this once, and they speak of you not with full respect, but even respectfully, disrespectfully. Yes, everyone who comes to the holy name, even if he is disqualified in many ways, can be given shelter because the holy name has this potency to by and by remove the difficulties in the hearts of someone. And it is about this point, removing difficulties in the heart of everyone, that the second chapter of the Bhajan Rahasya is working. You know, the second chapter of the Bhajan Rahasya starts with general subjects like the power of the holy name, the obstacles which we experience in chanting, and so on. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur, like a lion, mentions two processes to overcome the obstacles. The first is an indirect process, and the second is a direct process. What is an indirect process to overcome anattas? You will be surprised to hear. It's what we always do in the West. I have to do work on my heart. I have to confront the issues which are there. That's indirect. That's not direct, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. The direct process is to do something positive, to create, in other words, a favorable environment in which the disease is cured by the agents which are in the environment. Let me give you an example from medicine. I could take a patient and shove medicines into his mouth, one for the problems of the liver, then another for the kidneys, then and so on. But what I could also do, I could directly address the immune system and create a brilliant immune situation in the body, and then that will take care of the superior strengths of the many diseases. That's what I did with my fever. There were many, you know, you can't believe, a truck came by with different medicines because so many devotees are so kind to me. But I picked those out of the medicines which do a boost to the immune system and so on. So I will not deal now with how to overcome lust by certain anti-lust meditations. There are such meditations, and how to overcome greed and so on. I will quote from Bhaktivinoda Thakur what he recommends to create favorable circumstances for the practice of devotional service. I am very, very much convinced of the via positiva, the positive path, the direct path. When I hear the first offense against the holy name is to offend his devotees, I immediately like to translate that by saying the best thing is to glorify the devotees. If we, especially we Westerners, deal too much with the negative things, we will never get rid of the negative. We need to have the positive in our mind. Remember these two celibate brahmanas who were walking towards a town and came to a river. There was a beautiful lady. The sun was setting in the western horizon. The lady needed to cross the river, but she was shy. She didn't want to move her sari up because she didn't know how self-controlled the men in the area were. So she waited for the two monks. When the monks arrived, she said to them, "Kids, one of you please carry me over the river." So the young said, "Okay, come." And he took her on his back and carried her over onto the other side. The older one said, "No," didn't say anything. He pretended to not see the lady, and she was really beautiful. From what I have heard, she was like 20,000 Marilyn Monroes. So after the young man had carried her over, she got down from his back, and they parted ways, and then they didn't speak for 6 hours. They walked to the night and to the morning, and then in the early morning the old monk finally couldn't contain himself. He said, how could you touch a woman, you know, skin on skin, and, you know, too much?" And then the young said something which I want you to take note of. He said, "I carried her for 5 minutes. You are carrying her already for 6 hours with you." My dear devotees, this negative projections is something dangerous, because what you resist, that persists in your life. Let me say it again. If you are against something, if you resist with all your emotional power against something, you will always be occupied with thinking about that very thing. That what you resist, that persists. It sticks to you. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur deals with his second chapter, which is an illustration to the verse which we read this morning, with a few powerful positive circumstances which create ideal circumstances in our life so that we can become free from Krishna, from these obstacles. Could you imagine the first medicine which needs to be given? Well, I know that I've read these books for a few, this particular book for many years. I'm in a slight advantage over you. What do you, we always hear when you are bad in your consciousness, what should you do? James, always right, but we look now for more specific answers. What always helps when you are down?
Association.
Why? Impressions come to our heart from other devotees. Listen to the verse which Bhaktivinoda Thakur quotes. He says, just like a crystal adopts the color and shape of what is placed before the crystal, so in Sangha or in association, we absorb the qualities of the person we are associating with. Huh? Imagine a crystal and you put a red hibiscus flower, these are these beautiful big flowers before the crystal. All of a sudden, before you know, the red flower is inside the crystal. It goes like this. So when you have association, both the good qualities, and then you have people around you who are not so good, the bad qualities come in your heart. Very, very, very amazing. Therefore, for instance, we have one injunction in the scriptures that a transcendentalist should not accept too many disciples. Why not? Because the qualities which the disciples have in their hearts are all of a sudden coming in your heart. I have talked about this with my godbrothers at length. Many were not willing to discuss this because it's totally private and we didn't have such a close relationship, but with my closer godbrothers, I have seen, they say, since I'm doing this with the guru, I'm feeling feelings which I never felt before. I want to fly to the moon, for instance. Only he told me. And I said, do you have an astronaut disciple? And yes, he has an astronautic disciple. He has a very, very deep desire. I'm using a very harmless and humorous example, obviously. But this is what happens in association. So, in close association of the heart, you will adopt what the other person has in the heart, the good things and also the not so good things. So therefore, it is the best thing if you want to overcome your anattas, have association with good devotees. It's so valuable. And I think we all experience this already here in the Sangha. We feel a little light in our heart because there's so much opportunity for association. And I do hope that you take sufficient advantage out of this. Bhaktivinoda Thakur quotes one particular verse which I like to read to you, that is, he says, what happens in devotional association? Step one, what happens step two, and what happens step three. And you can see, if these things are happening in your life, Gopati, if they are not happening, maybe you have the wrong association. This is how scientific the Bhajanas works. We are told about something, then we are told about a process which is meant to bring results. He quotes the verse, Satam prasangam mamaviya samvido bhavanti kritkarna rashayana akata tat yoshanadashva pavagavatmani shradharati bhakti anukramishyati. He says, First of all, you should listen to the verses. One listens to the pastimes of Krishna in the association of devotees. That's why we do this in the evening always. We have these therapeutic sessions when we hear just Krishna's pastimes. This you must do if you want to be pure. As a result of joyfully relishing these pastimes in such association, one quickly makes advancement on the path, and one goes through three stages. First is faith. This is, you know, in devotional association, you have to be careful. Sometimes when you don't have proper devotees, you lose your faith. Have you seen these discussions where you talk for 1 hour about all the scandals and what he did wrong and what he said wrong and what she did wrong and you know, how this halava was spiced, not with sweet spices like anise, but with... saying, because I don't know how to cook, how the halwa was ruined, you know, and so on and so forth. At the end, you feel, oh, it's all right to be admired. Let's go to the cinema, you know. Your shraddha has been efficiently destroyed. This is not the result of that something is wrong when you associate like this. The second stage is there should be some bhava, some feelings for Krishna coming in your heart, and finally that is prema bhakti, love of Godhead should be established. This system of devotional service will spread through the world if devotees give each other association, where they do what devotees should do, talk about Krishna, which increases the shraddha, increases devotional feelings, and finally develops love for Krishna. Very important. He talks about this very scientifically from many angles of vision. I will not repeat all this here because I want to come to other points. One moment, I have to feel the atmosphere. I'm doing what I shouldn't do. I'm putting too much information into you. So, can you just give me 5 more minutes of information? It's just and then we do something. Is it still possible?
Yes.
Then Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about chanting with Sambandha Gyan. You should understand who is Krishna, you should understand who is Maya, and you should understand who you are. We did this meditation yesterday, remember? Where we started with an understanding of ourselves as eternal souls. Then we had the second step, we understood Krishna is our infinite master, and then we looked at the world of Maya and understood everything here is meant to bring us closer to our relationship to Krishna. If you have these 3 points as your meditation, you will not be able to have so many anattas and aparadas. You know, whenever I want to do something crazy, actually I have to be careful, I sometimes like to give examples, and because I don't want to give examples about you, what I know from you, to not offend anyone, then I give the example about me, but then I'm next day in the international news for something I didn't do, so I have to be careful. Let me say it like this. When you feel tempted to do something, then you should ask yourself the question again and again, who am I really? What is this material world with the visible objects? And who is Krishna? And when you do this, you automatically, by putting these points into your consideration, you will automatically have another opinion about what to do and what not to do. Sambandha Jnana is called the Sambandha Jnana meditation, which we did. Then Bhaktivinoda Thakur quotes a verse which I find very, very comforting. He says how a devotee should act in this world. Who is not yet perfect. He says, what are the qualifications that make advancement in chanting the holy names? He says, what are the qualifications for making advancement? Would you like to know what qualifications you have to adopt? It's so beautiful. It describes a person right on most of our levels. It describes about a person who has understood that material life is miserable and that the promises which material life gives you, that you will be happy doing this, can never be fulfilled. But, alas, one is too weak to act upon this knowledge and therefore again and again makes mistakes. He talks about this person. If one who has developed faith in my topics and is indifferent to all other duties is unable to give up material enjoyments, even though he knows that they are the sources of miseries, he should still worship me with affection, with great determination, and in the faith that all things will be achieved simply by serving me. Then even if he tries to satisfy his material desires, he will condemn himself for doing so. You know, this means someone knows, I don't want my material life to go on, but I can't give up chocolate or movies. Or some sexual pleasures are also there in my life. Or this and that and so on. Please, this attachment is not a source of disqualification. Don't despair. You should worship Krishna with affection and great determination. And then after some time, you will dislike these things. Vishwana Chakravarti Thakur says, such a devotee prays, oh, I'm so attached. But whether my attachment to my material life increases or becomes more or it disappears, whether there are millions of impediments to my devotional life or whether these impediments will all disappear, even if I have to go to hell because of my offenses, I will accept that willingly. But I will not give up devotion to my Lord. I will never take up other paths of dry rituals or knowledge. Even if Lord Brahma himself comes to me and tells me, give up your bhakti, do something else. No, I will not do. This is what is meant by dhrita nishchaya, or firm determination. So when you have this mood in your spiritual life. Okay, I'm not perfect. If you're not making a big show to be the most perfect one, then that's another thing. But if you are open and frank about it, obviously you won't tell everyone, listen, here I have this attachment. No, no. Continue to develop faith in Krishna's topics, to hear about Krishna. And then you will feel that your taste changes. First you are like a drunk who drinks, and then you start to think, oh, I shouldn't continue to drink. It's not good to drink. It's not so good. Oh, I really hate myself. Oh no, Krishna, Krishna, Haribo. Oh. One day you will go, you will not do this any longer. It will come if you continue to chant and hear with Krishna. Isn't that a good relieving news, Vince? I think this is very important. In bhakti, we don't care so much about renunciation or jnana. We care about Krishna. And this is Bhaktivinoda Thakur models this understanding into a practical way of life, which he discusses in his Bhajan Rahasya. It is something which we find a few verses later, then you have made it. He says, when you want to chant in this world and become Krishna conscious, you must situate yourself into a position in life which is yukta vairagya. What is yukta vairagya? It translates as appropriate renunciation. You use them, these sense objects, in as much as they have utility in the service of Lord Krishna. For instance, prasad falls within the category. You enjoy the sense objects only as much as is appropriate without attachment and by keeping a relation to devotion. What it means is, be honest. Go on to the level where you are, and from there practice Krishna consciousness, and you will slowly, slowly gain more taste in Krishna consciousness, and then you can easily give up the sense objects, which are not useful. Now, I think this is very good, and this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said when he quoted this verse. Can you help me stay in your position and from there engage in the process of yane prayasa mudapasya namaste? Stay in your process, stay in your position. No need that a mosquito becomes an elephant, in other words. And then, from that position, you should very happily progress on the path of Krishna consciousness. It never works if you want to become a Haridas Thakur overnight. It never works if you want to become a great renunciant overnight and go into the jungle. We had this on the Java retreat. One member, he is a doctor in, I believe, Canada. No, no, not Canada. Somewhere else in Europe, Hungary or so. He came to a Java retreat and immediately, he, as a doctor, he has to work 10 hours a day and stay up all night and so on. It's a little time, but he felt, now is my chance for Mangal Aarti. So he went to Mangal Aarti at 4:30. He took all the sessions up till the night, also the optional sections for 2 days, and then we had to give him to the mental hospital, you know, because he had not rested enough. This is not appropriate renunciation. This is not yukta vairagya. It would have been better to understand, I worked all day and all night for 1 year, I'm a little tired, okay, let me take it in doses. If I go to Mangal Aarti, I drop the morning lecture and sleep in the morning lecture. Or I could just, nowadays it's good to, you can just sit at the wall and sleep and pretend you are an ecstasy. for time to time, look. You are a passive member. No, yukta vairagya is so important. I think sometimes we did this wrong in the past. Good. So this is a little bit some of the jewels which help directly to create a favorable situation. Strive for genuine devotional association. I really want to make this very, very clear. And I would like you to turn to your neighbor now and do a little active learning. I want you to discuss with your neighbor for a time of 5 to 7 minutes. I will see the following question, but first find your neighbor, then I will give you the question. Otherwise you have forgotten it. So here comes the question. Tell your neighbor an incident in your life where you met a devotee of Krishna or listened to a devotee of Krishna, and in his association your whole perception and changed. You got an inspiration, in other words, which helped you to progress in spiritual life. Please start now. And please don't talk about everything else than this question.